Ladies and gentlemen, today on TV Pilot Reviews, we're talking all about Seth Rogen's continued quest to take over the entire world. So don't move a muscle.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TV Pilot Reviews here on AfterBuzz TV. What you're hearing right now is the Super Mario theme, which I'm sure most of you know, because the pilot we're talking about today, which is called Future Man, has a very heavy video game component.
It does.
And I can't wait to talk about it. Before we do that, guys, this is TV Pilot Reviews. This is a show where we, of course, review Hollywood's hottest new pilots and let you know whether or not you should pass or play. As I mentioned at the top, today we're reviewing Hulu's new show, Future Man. We have a lot of thoughts. Before we give you those thoughts, let's introduce ourselves. My name is Jeff Graham. If you guys want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. And I have an amazing panel of co-panelists.
Hi, guys. Linda Antwi here. And you can find me at Linda So Girly all across social media. I'm kind of excited about this show.
Okay, yeah. Sam Davidson here. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. And I am in the live chat. And I feel like you guys have opinions, so tell us. And we'll share them with the world.
Yes, share us your live chat opinions. We got it up right in front of us. And I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'AngeloTV. Or on Instagram at D'Angelo. And it didn't take long for us to see that Seth Rogen was part of the show, huh, guys?
Yeah. Took about 10 seconds.
Yeah. Jizz,
all of that stuff. So for any of you younger listeners, you have an idea of what the show... No.
Bye. Okay,
so let's talk about the show. As you guys know, the first thing we do is we give you our overall reactions to this show, which again is Hulu's Future Man, which dropped, I think, on Tuesday.
Last night, I guess.
So 14th. pretty new. So we're going to give you our overall thoughts and our pass or play, which means whether or not we think you should watch the show or go ahead and pass. We actually added two. So we have our pass or play and whether or not other people should pass or play, because sometimes they're different.
Yes.
D'Angelo, let's start with you at the end.
Play for both, just with the understanding that you understand the intent of the show.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, you know, Seth Rogen, so he has very distinct humor, you know, and be prepared for that. If you like his humor, you're going to like the show. If you don't, then get out the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say play for, I mean, I'm not sure. I think I will play at some point, but it's not a run to play. But for other people, you know, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, they have a very interesting, funny sense of humor. I grew up with brothers, so, you know, I just think this stuff is funny.
Mm-hmm.
I am on the same path. So I'm going to say play for both. For me, it's going to be when I want to, like, escape from life and just have a bunch of free time, and I just want to laugh and just kick back and multitask, then for sure I'll be playing this or binging it.
I totally agree. My roommate and I call those our hungover shows.
Yes.
Because it's the best show to watch when you're hungover. That's exactly what the show is. It's light. It's like comfort food TV with jizz. Yeah, I feel like my thoughts on the show are, like D'Angelo said, it knows exactly what it is. It's not trying to be, even, I don't think, necessarily like a smart comedy. I think there are quiet moments of subversive smartness, but overall, this is a light, very silly, goofy show. And I think I'm a play for both, but I agree. I'm not, like, running to the TV to play this. I think I'm probably going to take a Saturday one day, maybe when I've had too much to drink on the Friday before, and just sit there and eat Cheetos and watch the show.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what
with that being said, at the end of the pilot, I was like, my first, you know, thing I'm going to say is that this should be bingeable, obviously. And I was like, oh, wait, episode 2 is coming on. Okay. Because obviously this is not going to be a weekly. You're not going to wait a week to see what happens.
Yeah.
It is in a one sitting or 2 to 3 kind of thing.
And I would say it has kind of a cinematic feel to it.
Definitely.
I was just about to say, this could have been a movie.
A movie,
it could have been 2 hours and done.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there was a couple times when I thought maybe it should be a movie rather than a 13-episode TV show, but we'll get into that. So this is kind of where we discuss the development of the show, guys. Again, we're talking about Hulu's Future Man, which just dropped, it looks like, on Tuesday, November 14th. This show's starring Josh Hutcherson, which I'm really excited to talk about because... Quick reaction. I think he's doing a pretty nice job in this role.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think so.
I was surprised to see him. So, in all honesty, I mean, I like to think I'm on the pulse with TV shows and comedy, especially like teen heartthrobs, but I had no idea what this was. Mm-hmm. So when I saw him, I was very surprised, and I was surprised about the role that he was taking, and I liked it.
Yeah.
You know, I like seeing him not in the Hunger Games doing something weird.
For sure. I thought he was great, and I'm excited to talk about his performance a little more later in the show, but this is an original show created by Howard Overman, Kyle Hunter, and Ariel Shafir, is how I'm guessing her name is pronounced. Mm-hmm. But of course, the producing team is names you guys do know, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who are the producing minds behind a lot of movies you've probably seen, Pineapple Express, Sausage Party, This Is the End.
Superbad.
Yeah. Superbad, of course. It's probably their biggest hit. But a very long list. And again, as D'Angelo mentioned, if you're into the humor and that those kinds of projects, a lot of the same stuff we're seeing here. Interestingly, I was reading about the creators, and Howard Overman, who's top billed on this show as the top creator, had mostly experience with like sci-fi, kind of like BBC sort of sci-fi shows. Makes a lot of sense when you look at the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they're planning to get into. Have you guys watched more than one episode?
I just watched the one.
Okay.
Just one.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know.
You always jump
I'm
to the
always
next
the one who's
one.
Like, well, I did watch the first four seasons of the show, but yeah.
Just one for me.
Did you watch more than one, Sam?
I didn't. I almost got onto the second, and A, I felt guilty. B, I was like, I also haven't seen This Is Us this week, so.
Priorities, come on.
They're similar shows, though, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, super similar.
If you like This Is Us, you'll love Future.
I will say, I'll just add,
yeah, please.
I think that it'll be to their benefit to make this a show that someone can jump in. I know it's on, you know, being mass released, but like someone can jump in and see someone else watching episode 6 and be like, and can just go along with the storyline. I hope that they don't make it too like storyline heavy. You know, it's kind of can check in, and because if that is their approach, that's what they're going to need for people to check it out.
I don't think that's their approach at all.
Really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like a storyline that you have to really be heavy into the plot. I think it's more going to be like about one-liners and
action
stuff.
Same
thing. So I think that if I never saw it and I jumped in on episode 6, I would still be like kicking back, eating my Cheetos.
I think they need that. They definitely need that.
With that being said, I do think that this pilot episode was really planting a foundation for us with his family, and certain things that he cared about, and the main character, blanking on his name, but Josh Hutcherson's character, his values.
Josh.
Of course, yeah. I don't know his name.
Played by Josh.
It was too on the nose, I know. It also was too on the nose. Did it not bother anybody? No, that his name was Josh. I don't know. It just, like, annoyed me.
Well, I want to talk about that because there was an element, I feel, where there was some one-dimensionality to this show. And I think that's kind of what it was trying to be. So for those of you guys who haven't seen the show, just a quick log line, and just know that the further we go in the show, the more we'll be revealing spoilers. But this is a show, again, starring Josh Hutcherson, who's playing a probably young 20s, kind of down on his luck, nobody, sort of everyman, who's a janitor at a local science institution?
We study STDs, yeah.
STD laboratory?
Research industry,
Just a regular janitor, you know?
Yeah, just a regular, exactly.
High school, STD, scientific institute, same thing.
Yeah. Yes. But basically, the one thing he's got going for him is that he's a really, really amazing gamer. Mm-hmm. And he's playing this game that's apparently unbeatable. And there's one specific level, level 83, that's almost impossible to get past. But owing to some ingenuity, he beats the level and finds out in that moment that beating that level was actually a test to see if he is the chosen one to save the world.
The savior.
The savior, exactly. So that's basically the show. And at this point, I say we go ahead and dive into the characters. Sam, you were saying that you feel Josh Hutcherson playing Josh Futterman is a bit on the nose.
Yeah, and I was thinking, I mean, what are we doing watching last week's show with, like, Jay Farrow? But he didn't have the same name, obviously, but it was him, but now it's, like, switched.
Right.
But, I mean, it confused me because, also, I didn't know what I was getting into when I watched this. I honestly watched this fully blind, which shocked me because of the names behind it. But I loved him in it. I thought he was absolutely the best part of the show. Mm-hmm. I just wish his name wasn't Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think of his performance, D?
I think he did a good... I mean, he delivered on what his responsibilities was. I remembered. I believed him, and then, you know, I didn't think about Hunger Games or anything like that. Although, personally, I don't think this is too much of an extension away. I know he's, like, nerdier, but, like, I think he was kind of already in that bubble as well. Mm-hmm. But it is a little bit of a step to the side, which is always good for an actor to show your range.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I actually enjoyed a lot of people's performances. I wouldn't say that he was the best, but I think he delivered in what he was asked to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it. The one thing that's fun for me about Josh Hutcherson's performance in this is that we're kind of getting to see him in an adult scenario. Do you know what I mean? We're used to kind of seeing him in YA situations.
That's true, yeah.
But we're getting to see him, you know, kind of curse and be vulgar, which maybe this is immature of me, but I'm kind of having fun with it.
Yeah.
Well, when I was watching it, like I said, blind, didn't know what was happening. And I go, okay, this is for kids. Nope. No, not for kids. Definitely. And I was like, wow, he's saying this.
Yeah.
He's okay. And it's fun and he's funny. And I feel like maybe him, you know, as an actor and as a person, he's been itching for something like this to do, perhaps work with Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. He's probably like, whatever you guys want to do. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to quickly talk about, there was something interesting about the tone. Because the show almost had the comfort food familiarity of, like, a network show.
Hmm.
Like, there were times when the way the characters interacted, it was kind of pleasant and goofy, mm-hmm. and it almost felt like it could have been, like, almost like a Disney show, except for the fact that they were talking about in what positions you'd want to have sex with Luigi from the Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
So I kind of enjoyed that, how, like, it followed the familiarity and beats of almost a network show, but with the edge of, like, an R-rated kind of comedy.
Well, I think that is the different angle for them, is that they're, I mean, kind of they did that with Sausage Party, too, but taking these very kid aspects, but making it completely not for kids.
Right.
Like, I think that was the writing, you know, what these people were saying and how absurd it was, even with the people who came back from the future. Like, I think that's why I would revisit this show, is because it's funny. It's mm-hmm. just really funny. Like, so I think... that's why with Josh is kind of like, yeah, he did his job, but like, I don't think, as long as you deliver the lines, the show will be good. I think that's the most important aspect of this show specifically, and not necessarily the performances, because all of the personality comes from the words that they're going to be saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about some of the personalities, let's talk about some of the other characters. I'm having a lot of fun with Eliza Coop and Derek Wilson as Tiger and Wolf.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about these performances? Yeah.
I'm a fan of both. I really liked it. I thought it was hilarious, the two of them, and a very kind of like fish out of water, but in water because they're smarter than everybody in some way, shape, or form. I really liked it. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I think Eliza's a great actress, mm-hmm. and I think that what she's doing with this character, Tiger, is like really on point. Like, she brings that serious part to this sci-fi kind of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that she did a really good job. As well as Derek, but I thought she stood out a lot in this pilot.
Yeah, I don't know if any of you guys watched Happy Endings at all.
I did.
So it's fun.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty fun to see her in this role specifically, I think. At first I thought it was Betty Gilpin, who's newish.
It took me a minute to be like, who is that? I know her. And then I got into focus and I realized who it was. I mean, she's great and she is... I mean, Happy Endings, but she does a ton of stuff for Funny or Die, too, and mm-hmm. Webb's like... She's hilarious. I really, really like her. And I think that she, actually, now that I'm talking about it, was probably my favorite performance now that we're getting into it. But, you know, Josh was good to hold it all up.
For sure.
He held it together.
He's kind of just straight man, you know.
Yeah.
For those of you guys who haven't seen the show, basically Eliza Coop and Derek Wilson, the reason I'm pairing them is because they play the two kind of video game protagonists who the main character, Josh, had been virtually playing as. And they kind of come to life.
Yeah.
And that's the other element that almost feels a little Disney about it. Because I've, like, thought of...
Tron.
Mm. Or, like, even Life Size with Tyra Banks. I don't know if you guys have seen
that. Are you serious right now, Jeff?
Yes.
from an idea standpoint of like...
That's really pulling like a rabbit out of a hat. Nah, right there.
Good. I like that
you
reference.
You don't see it?
I mean, great. I love it.
What if your toy came to life?
I just never... Like, if I ever gave that shout out on a show, I really thought everyone would look at me and be like, what?
No, I love that.
No, oh, you can judge me for sure, but I'm right.
Oh, I love it. No. You are right. It's a Barbie doll that came to life.
This is the guy version.
I read something online, and this just ties into that. It's like man-child sense of humor, and that's that. It's like it plays with your sensibilities as an adult with the dark humor, but then it's also like, oh my god, this is kind of that's a doll, that's a video game that came to life. That's your child in you, right? So
I do have to add though that the adulthood being kind of thrown in on us, the, you know, I guess jizz is an adult, but things that you can't say on ABC, NBC, CBS. I almost felt like they were really excited that they weren't on any of those networks.
Definitely.
They would have to not be Seth Rogen. Just his whole body of work. Like, can you imagine him censored? I can't really.
It is interesting. I mean, I will say there's an element for me personally where the longer Seth Rogen has worked, the more he's sort of shifted a little bit too far in terms of vulgarity substituting for content a little bit.
I hated Sausage Party.
Agreed.
And I love Seth Rogen movies. Wasn't offended. I was just didn't like it.
Yeah, I feel like Seth Rogen's stuff for me always has, it's a spectrum of sweet and edge. Mm-hmm. And like Superbad's actually a really kind of sweet, feel-good movie. And a lot of his movies are about friendship and loyalty and, you know, the awkwardness of adolescence. And I really like that stuff. And I think the vulgarity should be a support for that. But I think lately there's kind of been where the vulgarity is the central aspect of the humor. Mm-hmm. And the kind of the themes and the sweetness are sort of sprinkled on top instead.
Yeah.
And there was moments in this show I felt a bit that way of, I'm not sure that just talking about Mario coming is a joke. It's more just a shock.
Yeah, it's like an idea you had. I get you thought about it, but let's make it, like, that's what writing is for, to make it a joke, to make it funny and not just say, oh, I thought about Mario coming.
Right.
That's it.
What did you guys think?
I think it's a good point. I mean, it's kind of like the Family Guy thing. Like, I mean, I guess it's on Fox, right? Or
what? Yeah, Family Guy's Fox, yeah.
So it is possible, but I think they have so much more freedom to go more absurd. So it's going to be in the extreme, but they're on Hulu. I think that allows them to do that. You have to be in the mood for it. I'm not always in the mood for it.
Right.
And like, so I think if you're watching this show and you're expecting him to make a commentary about something serious, you're going to the wrong show. It's just not.
Except if you go to his Twitter, you know.
Yeah, then it's a little different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah.
I think I'm probably the odd person out here.
Fair enough.
I think that that's what is to be expected of Seth, especially. I'm thinking of, like, Beavis and Butthead. Do you guys remember that show?
Yes.
Yeah.
And how it was, like, so absurd, and they would just say whatever is on their mind. I think that that's how Seth and Evan kind of are going with this. They're just going to say whatever's on their mind because it's, like, young bro humor.
Yeah,
right.
So I think that that part with the Super Mario and all of that, it's because that's exactly what they were thinking. They're like, we're going to throw that in there because we think it's funny. Right.
It'd be for weird to see them hold it back. Like, it'd be weird to be like, to hear them say, you know, if I was in a writer's room, they'd be like, that's too far. Like, right. I don't think that's a statement that.
No. It's not that it's too far. It's just that it didn't necessarily fit in with the rest of the jokes or the storyline, yes, video games, but it didn't, like, with exactly what they were talking about in that moment. I'm like, why are you talking about cum?
Right.
Like, I just don't know why.
Yeah, I think of... Do any of you guys watch Silicon Valley on HBO?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a bit of a spoiler if you haven't seen the show, but it actually doesn't give away too much. Basically, in the very last episode of the first season, the guys who are sort of in this startup come to this realization about their coding with this analogy that involves penises. Mm-hmm. And, like, that joke was so funny because there was this juxtaposition of, like, talking about this ridiculous kind of sexual over-the-top content with this very earnest attempt to crack this code. And there was just, like, so clearly a joke that had been thought out involving the vulgarity, and there was a reason for it. Mm. And there was, like, maybe two or three times in this pilot where I was like, I'm not sure there's a reason for this.
I get you.
And I just am more tickled if I can see a joke using that wording is a little maybe.
You sound like a really creepy old uncle.
I'm more tickled when they talk about the penises this way. But yeah, I think I'm more amused maybe when these jokes have a reason for existing rather than just thrown existing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And something else that kind of, it didn't bother me, but I was just curious. I wanted a more firm stance on how old Josh was.
Yeah.
Because when you're young and in high school, you have an excuse for being perverted, kind of.
Yeah.
But when you're older, it's not that you don't have as much as an excuse, but if I would have seen him maybe interact with a woman at work that he had a crush on, kind of. I mean, I guess, like, we didn't really see any. I mean,
well, he daydreamed through the girl.
Yeah,
the
like
window.
A little bit, but just, I don't know. But then if we saw too much of it, he would have been a pervert because he's too old to be, like, video gaming and fantasizing. I mean, I don't know. I don't do that, so you can. I guess you can be however old you want to video game fantasize. But it was juvenile, but at the same time, if they made him older, it would have been creepy.
Yeah. I feel like for me, it's great casting. And I will say, I feel like this is a well-cast show all over. And, like, I think some of the complaints I've had about the writing, I think the cast is so great for me that those mistakes are being made up for with great performances. Mm. I was trying to think of someone else in this lead role, and I was sort of having trouble thinking. I think this could go very wrong in the hands of the wrong actor. Mm. And I think Josh Hutcherson's a very good actor.
Yeah, I do too, and he seemed really cool with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know. I mean, when I think of him, I think of Hunger Games.
Right.
So this is his time to be goofy, and it seemed like he was excited about it.
The thing I like about Josh Hutcherson is he is, like, a very vocally committed actor. Like, I feel like he's, like, someone asked him, like, do you hate the paparazzi, all that stuff? He's like, you know, whatever. I feel so lucky to be acting and getting to do the thing that I love that I'll take whatever else the costs are. And he was in this movie with Julianne Moore and Annette Bening. Did you guys see The Kids Are All Right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course. I love that movie. I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, so I do feel like he'll take these turns where he is more than just kind of like the YA heartthrob that we expect. And I do kind of like think of him as like a serious actor when he wants to be.
Yeah.
And this is such a serious show.
Super, right, super serious.
Any more performances we want to talk about? Those three are kind of the central.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Glenn Headley, as the mom, because I think she's a fantastic actress, and just knowing that she passed recently and they committed to the first 5 episodes, I thought that was really special, and I thought that she actually stood out in her small little itty bitty part in the pilot.
I mean, so I read online that, you know, she, I don't know how many she was supposed to be in, but I think she was probably going to be throughout the duration of the 13, but she died after they filmed 5, so, and, you know, they didn't recast her. They, you know, the writers had to change their storyline, I guess, in a sense, and that I appreciate the, you know, I hate it when people are recast. It bothers me a lot, and so I'm glad they didn't do that, and, you know, part of me do now wants to watch the rest of it just to see exactly how they adapted to that happening. Mm.
Agreed. Yeah, I think these are fun performances for fans of Ed Begley Jr. We've had him in studio. I'm going to real quick promote on Ileana Douglas's Popcorn Talk Show, I Blame Dennis Hopper. You can see a great interview there.
I love him. He's great.
I'm excited. Martin Starr is going to be on later in the season, who's also in Silicon Valley. It was fun to see Haley Joel Osment, I thought.
It was
shocking.
A little off-putting.
Just because you're used to the icy dead people, Haley Joel Osment.
No, okay, listen. I watched the Entourage movie, you know, I get in Silicon Valley, like, I get he's, you know, but it's still every time I'm like, oh, God. It's just, it's extra. It's, he has a beard and he's just a different person, and it's not that I want to see him as a child anymore, but he is, like, almost a bit of an off-putting, disturbing character actor.
Always
turned into.
Yeah. And he always plays that. That's exactly what I was going to say.
At least he's owning it, I guess.
He always plays the off-putting, even in Silicon Valley. Like, I don't really like you.
Gotta get those checks, man.
I'm excited. I think, again, I'm a play. I'm excited to see the rest of these kind of performances, because I think they're really fun. We talked a bit about the writing. It sounds like overall we like it. I personally think that I'd like to see more, a bigger commitment to sort of telling and crafting jokes rather than just relying on vulgarity. But yeah. It's also funny already.
And some more stakes. I know that the world is going to end and stuff, but we don't...
Give us higher stakes.
Yeah, give us higher stakes than that, the whole universe. I mean, we don't know how it's going to end. When his parents disappeared at first, I was excited because I was like, oh no, it's going to be like Spider-Man, you know. Someone's going to die and then he's going to become a superhero, you know, to make it. But I was like, okay, it's just time travel. It was so many things that I love. Like, I love time travel. I love comedy. I love science fiction. But it just was shifting too much to... I was like, I either love this or I really don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then the more I talk about it, too, I think I do this every week. I change my opinion throughout our conversation.
I hear you. I can do the same thing. One thing we always talk about is sort of the themes of the show. And obviously, this is a very light comedy. I don't know if there are that many themes. But one thing I did like was I feel like this show sort of was making a comment on violence in video games. Did you guys get that?
Yeah, yeah.
In a very funny way.
Yeah.
Basically, for those who have or haven't seen the show, the character deaths that are being reenacted are very, very over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I found this to be pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I loved when they would yell what they're about to do right before they do it. Yeah. Left arm, left arm.
Yeah.
Like,
headshot.
Kill them now.
Yeah. Leg shot.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I did appreciate the moment, though, of somewhat reality where Josh told Eliza Coop.
That's Tiger.
Tiger! God damn it, Tiger. Okay, of course, Tiger, you know, like, don't kill him. Why? Because you'll actually murder him.
Because you'll be a murderer.
A bad thing.
Yeah, you'll have some blood on your hands there.
Yeah, it was funny. And then I also like sort of the homages to a lot of classic science fiction moments.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys say, it was interesting, I was reading online, I think some people are really excited about the sort of homages to classic science fiction moments, but some are saying that the show, rather than paying tribute, is sort of just ripping off of these.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think? I mean, we've only seen one episode, but...
I mean, I read the same thing. So I read that it's like ripping off of Terminator,
right,
and Back to the Future, and literally just verbatim. But I don't think that that's what they're doing. I think that they're kind of just glorifying and celebrating
mm-hmm.
pop culture
mm-hmm.
and like the generation that we most of us all grew up in, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't think that they're doing that at all.
Also,
but
the show.
I'm sorry. I did read something online that I didn't know. So the premise of the show is from an Ernest Cline book from 2015 called Armanda,
mm-hmm.
and that's borrowed from the hit The Last Starfighter that was a hit in 1984. So this is a premise that is not brand new, but they based it off a book that was based off of a movie. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do with this in the 13 episodes.
Yeah.
On that note, for the entirety of it, I really liked it. And by the end of it, I thought I recognized things, mm-hmm. themes, but the thing I would have to say at the end, I was like, this in a way too was unique. Because it combined those things. Mm. I don't know another TV show that did all of that. And in a way, I mean, it's just taking from what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really taking from it. It's just building on it. And I thought it was unique because I didn't know what the hell was, like, what they were going for, what they were doing. And I think a second episode would...
Explain
after my watching, you know, would explain what they exactly maybe a little bit are going for. But I thought it was unique at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, also to answer your question, there was a moment where they were making fun of themselves, like,
right,
about how they were biting stuff from other shows. I forget what Josh,
yeah,
when he was talking to Tiger, and
he's like, this is like Starfighter.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's Quantum Leap.
Yeah, and
right,
they said another line. He's like, okay, now it's like, and so I think that should at least show that they're aware of the proximity they are to these other shows. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I couldn't help but sort of think of Stranger Things a little bit.
Me too.
I don't know if you guys watch that show. I mean, I don't know who's not watching that show, but I feel like that show to me a little more is kind of a love letter to the 80s without necessarily just kind of plucking right from it. And I feel like this show maybe didn't walk that line quite as elegantly for me in this pilot. But
it's a comedy at that.
Yeah,
drama.
A little bit more
true.
Liberties.
True.
Yeah, especially season two. You know, it gets real.
It really gets real in season
two.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really did think it was unique by the end of the pilot episode, and I was confused and wanted to know more, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that this is all based off of herpes and not contracting herpes. It's
absurd.
For sure.
And that sums it up in
I'll
all.
I'll say this. The character's name, what was his, Dr. Kronish?
I've got it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When he turned his face over for the first time, like, I get creeped out very easily. It was shocking to me. I was like, okay, you guys are hilarious because that is shocking.
Yeah.
And then we said, in the light, it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah, like, bold-faced
oh,
lies.
Okay.
Well, so there's actually a show that was on Amazon. I only think it was for a season. Paul Feig, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. You know,
Other Space.
Other Space. Yeah. And that didn't do very well. I mean, it wasn't on for very long.
It was Yahoo. Because they had a
right,
thing
I'm sorry,
for,
it
like,
was Yahoo.
Yahoo used to do original content.
It was Yahoo. So I was just really hoping that this wasn't going to turn into that because that had a really huge, you know, cast behind it, like huge producer, writer, all of that. And it didn't hit. I think this is better than that, but that was also like a genre show. It was a comedy sci-fi show.
Right. Yeah, I think this show, I'm not meaning to interrupt,
no.
But I think this show, different than Other Space, has a fresh idea and cares. It's not just let's make fun of Star Trek. It's what if a video game came to life?
Right.
And I feel like that narrative impetus is what's going to make the show work. And then throwing in all the satire and parody and jokes will work if the narrative remains interesting, I think. Any other thoughts? I feel there's only so much you can talk about with a show like this.
Yeah.
I know our producer's seen the show. Brianna, if there's anything you wanted to say that we haven't touched on yet, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Peace.
Perhaps.
Well,
sorry.
Oh, no worries.
No, I mean, I think I feel about the same as all of you about it. It's just, you know, it's a fun show. It's a show that I'll probably put on while I'm cleaning my room and stuff in the background just to have fun and watch. It's not something I'm going to, like, if it was is it coming out week by week or is it coming out all at once?
It's all out.
Yeah, it's not something I'm going to binge at home and just be excited for each new episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was fun. I could definitely see the audience that it's going for.
Yep.
Yeah. Good point.
Sorry, one other thing I wanted to say, which I would really be interested to know where they pitched this show or if Hulu came to them, how this all happened, because to me, I was just like, Comedy Central. This is so Comedy Central. But they made it very clear that they can say the F word and do all these things that they might not have been able to do there. And Hulu, we were talking about it before, Hulu, I think, is becoming bigger. We don't know about Hulu's original content. We do now, though, because they've won so many Emmys.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is becoming the new Netflix, essentially. It's definitely several steps behind Netflix, but I do think they're making their way up. So this is a very good up-and-coming network to be on. So I would just be interested to know if this was the network they wanted to be on, if they wanted to be on Netflix, or how this all happened.
Yeah.
And just jumping off of that, remember we just reviewed the Sarah Silverman show and how it was shocking and it's on Hulu as well? I think that's kind of an interesting parallel. Like, the pilot episodes just come out there shocking.
Yeah.
Either they're, you know, cursing or it's naked bodies or whatever it is. I wonder if Hulu's trying to, like, have an audience that says,
like,
hey, you know what, we're open to doing anything, which kind of is what Netflix was when it first started doing original programming, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, so. Well, in general, if you think about all the comedies you've reviewed on this show, besides the mayor, they've all mostly been, I feel bad every episode.
Poor mayor, Kevin.
It's become like the bit of the show of how can we, like, poop on the mayor.
How's it doing, by the way?
I don't know. I wanted that show to be good. So if you're watching and you're still watching the mayor, let us know in the comments of this video whether or not we should pass or play. But I think if you think about all the comedies we've reviewed on streaming, they've all been pretty shocking. I mean, Big Mouth, American Vandal.
One of my favorite ones.
Well, and I will just say, I binged all of Big Mouth.
Me too.
When I was home the past few weeks with my brother. And it's like we would go out in public and start talking about, like, the hormone monsters, and it has influenced me greatly. So I am very, like, regretful of my not loving it.
Big Mouth was big. Like, a lot of people did the Halloween costumes and stuff. Not to make it a Big Mouth review show, but I think that's, like, one of the best ones we've reviewed
definitely.
So far.
But it makes me wonder if with comedy especially, there's such a stratified world for each of these shows, right? Because if you're pitching a network show, it's going to go on a network. Mm-hmm. If you're pitching a show like Broad City, it's going to be on cable. But if Broad City were on Netflix, it'd probably be edgier. Mm-hmm. You know, I think.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the thing is, I don't watch network comedies anymore. I really don't.
We were talking about that.
Yeah. And what comedies do I watch? They're on Netflix.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, I just think probably when people are writing, they know the four or five networks that they'll be able to pitch to based on their script. Yep. Or they can always go back and change the specifics of their dialogue based on where they're going
to
live.
We should try to get a writer on the show that has written a comedy that ends up on Hulu or Netflix or something and just, you know, ask them. That'd be great. Yeah,
it'd be fun.
We'll work on that.
Definitely. okay, this is the part of the show where each of us... Any last thoughts first before... Okay, cool. Each of us are going to review out of five what we would give the show just based on the pilot.
I'm guessing I'm going first.
Mm-hmm. I've got mine if you want to think
a little bit. Yes,
all right. I gave it a 3.4.
Right. Oh, we're going over there because I'm
bouncing it's like a restaurant.
Okay. Yes.
I got it. 3.6.
3.6. Okay. I give it like a 3.3.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 3.
Oh, I would have expected higher, Linda. I feel like you're loving it.
I feel like, you know what it is? I think I feel a little guilty. I feel like...
It's a guilty pleasure.
I will sit there and binge it and not get anything accomplished and, like, get off my diet, eat Cheetos, drink too much wine, and just be like, yes.
So that means you like it.
I get that. I get that.
If I go 3, I'll be like, okay.
It's a guilty pleasure show.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. How about, do you guys think this will make it past the first season? And do we think it even wants to go past a first season based on what we saw?
I definitely think they want to. I don't know if it will.
Can they really commit that talent, you know, again? I don't know.
I think it's going to go a second season.
I just wondered watching the pilot if it was intended to. Like, it almost felt like it might be just one season, almost like a miniseries. But then again, you could recycle that formula.
Absolutely. Just have another type of protagonist or a villain you add to it that... pops out from the game. See,
Seth, right.
I'm helping you.
I was going to say, let's get Linda in the writer's room.
That is one analysis about if you're not on a network show, they're not limited to having to stretch these shows out as much, which is, I think, a blessing more so than a limiting factor.
I agree.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Any last thoughts about Future Man before we move on?
Future Man.
I would never have heard of it. So again, with Hulu and your advertising, I don't know who's doing the advertising and marketing.
That's a good point.
But like, if you hadn't suggested it, I would never have heard of it. I went on my Hulu and had to like search it. It wasn't, you know how on the top it pops up, like, what's new, Hulu exclusive?
Wow.
None of that. So
that's a good point.
I agree.
For me, it popped up right away.
Did it?
Last night I was on Hulu and it was the first thing I saw and I was like, what is this?
Huh. What platform are you watching it on, Brie?
Computer.
Your computer, okay.
I think just maybe based on your preferences of what you watched beforehand.
I watch a lot of weird science fiction fantasy stuff on Hulu
didn't come up.
And comedy and it didn't come up, but I had to search it. And also these have huge stars, and I mean Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg behind it. How is this not on a billboard when I'm driving on Sunset Boulevard? Unless they're embarrassed about it.
I don't think they are, though. I mean, it's getting pretty good reviews, and it's interesting because like Preacher was their other big show, and I feel like I saw billboards for Preacher everywhere.
Preacher?
When it was coming out.
Oh, wait, on Hulu?
No, that's AMC, but that's also Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Oh, right.
So it's...
The point of Hulu and their marketing.
I think it's... They need to step it up with the marketing, because I didn't know about it.
Because they have... If they're attracting all this talent, acting-wise, writing, directing, then you really need to utilize it, especially if you're trying to be the new Netflix.
Yeah, exactly.
Let us know in the comments if you guys had heard of Future Man before we started reviewing, because I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. And also let us know if you think we should be running an after show for this show. I guess all 13 are out, so we'd probably do it quickly if we did. But if you want a more in-depth review than what we just gave you and a review past just the pilot, let us know in the comments. Guys, next week we are reviewing two Marvel shows that are also coming out on two different platforms. So Hulu is releasing a show in a week called Runaways. Mm-hmm. And Netflix is releasing a show on Friday called The Punisher. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about comics. I don't know if you guys do. So I'm going to try to get someone in here who does.
I host the Arrow After Show, so this Great. Is right up my alley.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
I'm going to be gone for Thanksgiving, FYI, guys. So oh. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm sorry.
There will not be a show next week, guys.
Yeah. Oh.
We are not open on Wednesday next
Great.
Week.
Great. I'll be here.
That's so right. In 2 weeks, we'll actually probably be reviewing something else. But we'll be on Twitter. You can see our reactions to both Runaways and The Punisher on Twitter. And we'll be back the week after that with some new stuff, guys. So again, this is TV Pilot Reviews. We're here every week mostly reviewing your favorite stuff. New pilots letting you know whether you should pass or play. Guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. We're pretty new show still, so if you have suggestions for segments or something else you want to see, also let us know. You can tweet at us. And if you want to reach me on Twitter, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham.
I'm Linda Antwi. Linda is so girly all across social media. Hit me up.
You guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
And I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'AngeloTV or on Instagram at D'Angelo.
Guys, thanks so much for being here, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Deuces.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.